Welcome, everybody, to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. It is with so much gratitude that we kick off our call today with a moment or a few of silence. So let's close our eyes and join together in that quiet, still space within that we all share. There might be ego shrieks, whether that's just a busy, active mind or some other challenge that is arising in our awareness. And we can just allow our experience to be what it is and just bring our attention to our own sense of willingness within. This is our willingness to find another way, to allow a new perception to come to us. Offering this willingness to your inner teacher, imagining bringing this willingness to your inner altar. And as you bring your willingness to this inner altar, releasing your willingness to our inner teacher, being willing to receive the miracle instead. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil open mind, these are the gifts that Spirit gives. And we place Spirit in charge tonight by our request. Taking a nice mindful breath in and out, and coming together to our perception of right here, right now. Alrighty. We are in the, if you have the Sparkle Edition, we're on page 450. It's the first full paragraph. It begins with, do not overlook our earlier statement. That corresponds to the original edition, chapter 19, part 2, paragraph number 4. And that also corresponds to chapter 19, in the FIP, chapter 19, part 1, paragraph number 4. Do not overlook our earlier statement is the sentence where we're starting. So we've been reading the section in Sparkle. It's a chapter called the Beyond the Body, Healing and the Mind. In FIP, it's called the Attainment of Peace, Healing and Faith. And we've been talking about the body in the few paragraphs that we've read so far. And basically, it's been talking about how every situation properly perceived becomes an opportunity to heal. And basically, it talks about how bodies can't heal. It's the mind. It's our perception. It's our belief in separation that has given rise to this world of seeming bodies. It's that perception that needs healing. So here we go. Do not overlook our earlier statement that faithlessness leads straight to illusions. For faithlessness is the perception of a brother as a body, and the body cannot be used for purposes of union. If then you see your brother as a body, you have established a condition in which uniting with him becomes impossible. Your faithlessness to him has separated you from him and kept you both apart from being healed. Your faithlessness has thus opposed the Holy Spirit's purpose and brought illusions centered on the body to stand between you. And the body will seem to be sick, for you have made of it an enemy of healing and the opposite of truth. So, in this paragraph, I have a few thoughts that come to mind. Faith is what we are doing when we're saying, Holy Spirit, help, or, you know, I'm willing to see differently. That's an act of faith. That's an act of our openness, our willingness to have our perceptions healed. faithlessness, or another way of saying it, a blocking out, you know, anything beyond our physical senses, leads straight to illusions. For faithlessness is the perception of a brother as a body, and the body cannot be used for purposes of union. This is pretty huge in that it's saying that faithlessness, again, faithlessness is the perception of a brother as a body. How many bodies do we see and interact with, and, you know, we wake up every morning thinking that we are this body? This is where, you know, the Course says, this is an insane world. Do not underestimate the extent of the insanity. There's no area of your perception it has not touched. So this is a big one, that if we're seeing our brother as a body, which we do all the time if we're relying on the body's eyes, you've established a condition in which uniting with him becomes impossible. So in other words, the body then becomes used as a block from using our true vision, which is the vision of the Holy Spirit. Now, just a funny thing to share. In the Miracle Share Conference, one of our speakers was Alan Cohen. And during Alan's talk, he shared a quote from Ken Wapnick, which just cracked me up, which was, bodies don't unite, they rub. Bodies can't unite, they rub. And I just thought that that was so hilarious because, and I thought of that when we were reading this. If you see your brother as a body, you've established a condition in which uniting with him becomes impossible. So bodies can't unite, though they can rub. I'm just rereading this, these last couple of sentences. Your faithlessness has thus opposed the Holy Spirit's purpose and brought illusions centered on the body to stand between you, and the body will seem to be sick, for you have made of it an enemy of healing and the opposite of truth. So in other words, when we decide to listen to ego, when we decided to make all this nice and concrete to keep ourselves hiding away from the truth and love and light that we all are, sickness enters in as that compelling witness that we absolutely must be a body. Sickness and death become part of the dream of separation. That's all I have to say. Insights, other questions, comments?
Donald Trump comes to mind.
Paula, you're going to be feeling that way, I think, throughout this whole section, because when I was reading this for tonight, I was like, I felt like this was taking our whole Donald Trump call now to the next level. Yep.
I mean, you can just see how challenging this actually can be.
And yet, at the same time, once we're willing to loosen our perceptions and loosen the belief in what our body's eyes are telling us, it can actually be quite easy. Not at first, but...
No, but the other night somebody said, all we need is a miracle. And that shifted my whole perception right then and there, because that's basically all we need in any situation. And it's that willingness to have it.
Amen. I totally agree.
This is Sue. He has actually helped me see beyond the form. Because
awesome.
I didn't really get that before.
Uh-huh.
But I need to do that with him. I need to look beyond what I'm seeing and what his image is portraying to be able to deal with this. So he has actually helped me understand this whole section. I'll be honest with you.
Awesome.
The bodies and not seeing them and your faithlessness, and I didn't get that before. It was one of the stumbling blocks for me that was very, very significant. But he is actually, in fact, he was on 60 Minutes this evening. And I called my mother to say goodnight, and she said she was watching it, so I turned it on. And I was able to look at him and just see love. And it was
wow,
that he has helped me. On a call, someone's talked about Donald Trump being their savior. Well, I thought he was actually doing that for me. He's actually helping me unblock a whole section of this course that I was not understanding.
That is so cool. That is so cool. Our spiritual teacher in disguise.
Really? Isn't that amazing?
I've already experienced the healing, too, because I felt, and I don't know if anybody could hear this in my voice, but internally, the call that we did on Thursday, I felt so firm in speaking about the course in a way that I never have before, because in the past I've had this fear, really, of not wanting to offend anybody, like wanting to be really careful and, you know, make it palatable and afraid of attack, essentially. And with all of that happening, it just became like, no, like I'm digging my feet into Holy Spirit. I am siding with love. I'm going to say what I feel moved to say. And if somebody wants to lash out or attack because of that, that has nothing to do with me. So it brought me to a new level too. So this is pretty
I think it's interesting because one thing, I did notice that, and I noticed that there was something about it that even on, like I said, on Thursday, I really wasn't ready yet, but I was reading messages you were posting, and I was able to take them in, even though I was still in my emotions, and I just thought that was interesting. I was like, huh, this is interesting. I'm with all this, but I'm able to hear what she's saying. So I just felt like you were really aligned and able to speak clearly. For, you know, I was able to hear it because some posts that people were posting and I was just like, this doesn't feel right. It feels off. And it was interesting. The other thing I was going to say that I was really helpful in the call was, and this was mentioned this morning in my mindfulness class, but that either whoever got in, I realized how much I was relying and my safety was in that. And my safety was in the world, like in the outside world. And I was like, whoa, that was big. And that really helped me go within and realize that that's where I need to go, not thinking that so-and-so is going to get in and protect me or anyone else. Or, you know, that was big.
That's huge, Paul. That is so huge. I just got goosebumps all over again because we do this all the time with looking outside of ourselves, having an idol. As I was using the course language,
yeah.
in terms of something that we believe can keep us safe. And if we are looking for our safety out there, we're doomed to stay in the ego's closed loop. And I don't mean doomed. Like, you know, our success is guaranteed. There is no doom. But you know what I mean, is that, like, looking outside ourselves just keeps us in the closed loop of the ego thought system. There's no out. There's no release until we choose again. That's really cool, Paul. Thank you for sharing that. Did I hear another voice?
Hey, Corinne, it's Deidre.
Hi, Deidre.
I just wanted to share, there were so many things that Donald Trump has actually been one of my biggest teachers already. Well, not my biggest, but, you know, a really, like, someone that's a symbol of something that's really waking me up. Because I realized how much I had concealed from my own awareness because I wasn't looking at it from a spiritual standpoint. I was still thinking, oh, one way is a good way, like one way is a loving way and another way is not a loving way. And throughout this whole process, I realized there's how erroneous and arrogant that way of thinking can be. Because I think sometimes as light workers, without being even consciously aware of what's happening, we're thinking, love looks like this, and love looks like, you know, helping each other and this, that, and the other, and it looks like a certain way and form. And we do get caught up in wanting to fix and help the picture look a certain way. And when you were talking about the picture being two sides of the same coin, the same ego coin, in the call, that was really, really huge for me because I went, aha, I've been doing that. And I didn't even realize that I've been doing that. And so I had a really interesting awakening just the other day because there's this movement online right now with safety pins and looking at, you know, feeling safe and all of this stuff. And on one side, it's really lovely. It's about accepting everyone and where they're at and you know, honoring everyone. But then when I really dropped into spirit and asking about, you know, like dropping in and really feeling like, should I post this on my wall? You know, is it going to be helpful? And I really felt like if I were to take that step, there's still some division behind it because we're not looking at everybody if we're isolating. So it was just a really interesting, and I'm not saying that people have chosen to use the safety pins are wrong, and I'm not going there and labeling it. It's just that for me what came up was because I noticed in the comments around the safety pins that there were some comments about people who were not posting it being racist or whatever, and I could see that it, even something as that was seemingly loving, you know, coming together and using these safety pins as a symbol of love was being also used on the other side of the coin as something for division. And that's where it didn't resonate for me when I checked in with Spirit and asked. So it was just a really like focused way at zooming in on what do we actually feel about this, and is it being used on behalf of love's purpose, or is it being used on behalf of division and separation? So I just wanted to share that.
Thank you. That is interesting. And, you know, it makes me think of how the ego will use anything for attack.
Yeah.
You know, it'll use a loving symbol and twist it and use it for attack too. So,
yeah. Cause
thank you, Deidre.
I have a really good friend, and this is just an example. So if anyone is triggered by anything that I'm seeing in the example, then by all means, look at that with spirit. But on the level of form, my friend is Caucasian, and she's also, she's married, and she has a wife. And so in the commentary, my friend had posted the safety pin thing, and people were getting upset because my friend was white, and there was some kind of blog post about how white people were not understanding, and I started to see that, wow, like somehow there was like this splinter happening, which wasn't even intentional by anyone that's using these pins. So I just thought, no, I don't want to contribute to any further splintering off. That's what I was guided to do in that moment. If anyone is guided to do something else and take an active disposition, by all means, you know, take that to spirit and look at it. But it was just really interesting how, like, even the most, you know, the best intentions can sometimes not be that. So.
There's that saying, the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Yeah.
If they're ego intentions, they're going to bring us straight to hell.
Yeah.
Thank you, Deidre.
Yeah.
So,
I have... Hi, this is Carol.
Hi, Carol.
Can I speak, or is someone else going to speak?
Please. Yeah, I think I may have heard. Did I hear Paul? No.
Nope.
I thought it. I didn't. Okay. Then never mind. The other anonymous must be Deidre's line. There's two. You're both anonymous. Carol, go ahead.
Well, I just want to say I was extremely blessed and graced with Thursday night's call, and how I need that reminder, you know, every hour. You know, like Paula was saying, you know, again, I don't have it tattooed on my forehead, but the forgive me. Or Holy Spirit, help me to forgive myself. Is that right, Paula?
That's the one.
Okay. Anyway, I was talking with my son today, and I don't get into a lot of Facebook and a lot of media stuff, but he, you know, has friends that have been threatened, and I don't know what to say to him. You know, what I was able to say was, you know, the course, you know, like go into the archive, listen to that. And then I heard your voice, Corinne, say, oh, I wasn't ready to hear the course or read the course or, you know, right away. You know, my mom would say, oh, Corinne, you know, read the course. You know, so that was helpful to me. I don't feel like I have words, you know, when my son's telling me, I mean, I just broke down crying when I heard that people could be so cruel to other people and so threatening and so, you know, nasty. You know, I can say this isn't real, and I can say only love is real. And, you know, I can quote some things from the course, but I don't know how helpful any of this is right now to be able to talk to my kids about this. I'm still saying, you know, the world is insane. It's just, I mean, our local newspaper had a picture of, you know, something about white America, and there was a swastika, and I'm going, is this for real? This can't be for real, and it's not. It's not. It's just like a sort of kind of like a nightmare kind of thing. Mm.
Yeah. Well, Carol, you're hitting the nail on the head. The world is insane. The world is insane. The course quote is, this is an insane world. Do not underestimate the extent of the insanity. There is no area of your perception it has not touched. So this is an insane world. And I personally feel like just validating that. Also, what you spoke about, you know, we have to be where we are in our journey. And the fact that that example came up, like I literally used to stick my fingers in my ears and I'd say, I'd yell at my mom when she'd try to talk to me about the course. I'd say, speak to me in English like you used to. Like I would be mean. It's terrible for me to think about, but that I was not there. You know, I wasn't ready. And so we each come to this at our own time. And Carol, you know, whether or not your kids take to the course now, I know you've planted a lot of seeds with them. Like, they, I remember, used to sit in Unity. I still picture them as little, like, fifth graders. I still can't believe how big they are. But, you know, they've absorbed and you've planted a lot of seeds. And you know, when the time is right, those seeds are really going to sprout and grow, and so you have to trust that you've done that because you have. And in terms of, you know, how you've responded, I think it's beautiful how you responded. I think it's an honest acknowledgement that you don't have words, and expressing love to your son and the fact that he is compassionate with others is a beautiful thing too. And so reinforcing that, you know, is wonderful. So that's where, for instance, I come from a counseling background. I was a therapist for 10 years, and majority, 99% of my clients were not core students and not interested. And so I had to meet them where they were at.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't offer teachings from the course in language remotely close to it because they weren't there. But we could talk about, you know, love. We could talk about fear or hate. And we could talk about the type of person, you know, that they wanted to be and things that they wanted to, you know, strive for and then looking at all that. So we really have to meet family members, kids, everybody where they're at. So I think it's beautiful that it sounds like you did just that.
Well, thank you. I don't have words to, you know, when he's saying that, you know, friends that are, anyway, it's just like, I just don't even have words that people would hurt other people. I just don't even know.
If you think about it also, though, too, from the level of form, every time there's been something like a big step forward, there's been a backlash. And this is Corinne speaking, and I'm speaking on the world of form. This is not the course. Full disclaimer, this is my just sort of thinking about the same thing. But part of me wonders if 8 years of having a black president was too much for white for people who do have racism, you know, be it perhaps unconscious or maybe it is conscious, that there's a backlash happening and it's bringing out what was already there, but now it's coming to the surface so we can see it. And that, as ugly and as horrible as that is, now we are seeing it. Those of us who are dedicated to being miracle workers, we're seeing it and we're saying, Holy Spirit, help me. You know, help me be willing to see this differently because those people are not separate from us. And so this is where, when we talked about on Thursday, we're all connected, we're all one. The work that we do is there to benefit all. So it's slowly, like, I feel like those of us on this pathway over these past several days since the election were shaken and now have, like, committed even more to being, to committing to Holy Spirit. And so when you're not sharing a thought system, you're weakening it. And the course, this is a course quote, when you don't share a thought system, you're weakening it, and those who believe in it perceive it as an attack because you're not strengthening that thought system anymore. There's more people in this country than not who are not strengthening that thought system anymore, and it's reacting. It's having a bit of a backlash. So we need to hold steady and do this work that we're doing because I just firmly believe that this is for the healing, and it's coming up because it needs to be healed. So the racism, the ugliness, it can't stay underground anymore. It has to come out to be seen for us to take it to the light, to see it differently.
Corinne, go ahead, Paul.
Can I throw something in here? It just really
Please.
Occurred to me. It's occurred to me many, many times since this whole Donald Trump thing has come to, you know, such a head. When President Obama first came into office, you know, I have these Republican Tea Party friends, and I love them. They're really wonderful people in many, many ways. But they reacted just to me, it was shameful, some of the things that they were saying about him. And I felt so self-righteous. It was very hard for me to even listen to any of it. And then comes along Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And when
Trump is now giving, he's now giving permission for things to come out that were already there.
That's right. But when now he becomes president of the United States, and I'm feeling about him exactly the way that they were feeling about Obama. And it was like,
Paula,
holy shit. You're not so doggone self-righteous, are you? It was so wonderful to me. It was just such a wonderful lesson to me that, There's no division. There's no separation between any of us. We're tempted. We're tempted. We're tempted. Holy Spirit, help me to forgive myself for being tempted.
Oh, Paula, that was that was perfect. And there was another example that you're saying of like two sides of the ego, the same ego coin. Sides of it. And so now we are stepping out of it. DJ.
I so relate to that, what you just shared, Paula, because when I woke up at whatever time it was on the morning of the election result, because I felt so uncomfortable. Like I felt sick to my stomach. And I just felt like I was shaking, and I couldn't stop. And so I immediately went into, okay, what does Spirit want? Tell me how to look at this, because I have no idea what I'm doing, because I feel anxiety, so I know I'm listening to the wrong teacher. And what came to me instantly, like there wasn't a pause, there wasn't a, I don't know, maybe, if and or but, it was like, see this as a blessing. And then it kind of felt like a waterfall hit me, like the sensation, and I had the sense that the lesson that we're all learning and processing in different ways is that all judgment is the same judgment.
Yep.
It's one judgment. So the judgment that I had that, so if I was thinking that one person getting an office or whatever was a loving choice, then I was judging the opposite of that. And I was making, without even realizing it, making one side wrong over the other. And so what love is saying is there is no right and wrong. There just is. And so just exactly what Paula said about being self-righteous. And so we're in the process of this murky stuff coming up now to release all of that and put us on a level, so the light that we are can shine even brighter than before.
That's gorgeous.
That is.
That's just gorgeous.
Awesome.
And
thank you.
Then if I can just share one really quick thing.
Please.
There's a video, an audio. Lisa Natoli has a Course in Miracles group that meets in Boston, the Unity Center, and it's on YouTube. They put them on YouTube, and Linda Leland and Bonnie, I'm not sure of her last name, but they spoke a lot about Trump in the last talk that they did last week right after the election. And there was a lot of wisdom in that talk. It's about an hour long, but one of the most powerful and moving things for me was Linda just did a really quick example that really put into perspective that Donald Trump is us. We are Donald Trump. And I'll give you an example of some of the things that the example she was giving. She started off by saying, I'll raise my hand. Nobody else has to raise their hand, so that nobody felt like, you know, they were being singled out and judged for that. But she started saying things like, how many people have ever felt like if they started to give their money away, that there wouldn't be enough to go around, that there would be lack and limitation and fear around not having enough money? And so she raised her hand. How many people have ever felt like you know, they had to lock their car, lock their stuff away so that people won't steal it. And, you know, you have to protect your what you own and what you have. Again, raising their hand. How many people feel like they have to fight tooth and nail to have, you know, their business work out and prove their worth through their career and their work, you know? So I'm using my words. I'm not using Linda's because I don't know what she was saying verbatim, but it was just a really powerful example of how the same belief systems in little examples like that is present in one way or another in all of human consciousness. So we can't just say, oh, it's Donald Trump, or oh, it's Hillary Clinton, or oh, it's this person, oh, it's all of us. And until we accept that, we can't accept that we're one. Because that's the only problem there is.
That's awesome.
That's absolutely awesome.
Thank you.
It was,
you know, but we want, you know, there's that, the ego wants to look good.
Yeah.
Look at me. Look at how wonderful I am. Look at how kind I am. Look at how generous I am.
So true. And there's the I, the small sense of self, the sense of small self, so lowercase s.
You know what I just keep running through my mind is what would it feel like to just not judge any of this? What, wouldn't it be wonderful? But this constant temptation, you know, ever since I've been using this Holy Spirit, please help me to forgive myself, because I'm watching myself throughout the day, you know, the emotions, and I was just taught to respond to everything with anger. And I honestly, after a while, I sort of feel like, am I really worth this kind of forgiveness? Because it comes up so much. Yes, we're all worth it. And yes, the Holy Spirit will take it from us. And it really is such a powerful thing, because the more I use this prayer, it just cuts out some, I mean, things just don't build the way they used to. Because the Holy Spirit literally takes it every time.
Thank you. Thank you so much for this, Paula, Deidre, everybody who shared, because it's funny, Deidre, as you were talking, I've been meaning to watch that video, and you've definitely motivated me to do so very soon. But even in what I said before about, you know, white America and kind of like this backlash, I could feel that they're still there. And so it's what you shared, Deidre, just gave me another opportunity to look at that and be willing to see that differently. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Hey, everybody.
Oh. Hi, Alicia.
Hey.
Hi.
How y'all doing? Hey.
Welcome.
Thank you. So I got on the call kind of late, but I, wow, I can, I've been having some interesting epiphanies of my own. And so one of the things that has been coming up for me is that when the dread that so many different groups of people are experiencing, from you know, from Caucasians to the LGBT community to disabilities to black women, and I have been, anytime, you know, throughout the day, I come across any degree of a minority, I have been realizing that there are have been, to some degree, a prejudice and things inside of myself. And as I, this again, it's revealing what's inside of me, my frustrations, and what's happening is that I feel a deeper, real oneness. Not just with the minorities of the Western world, but with everybody. And, I mean, and it's very healing in a way that I did not expect to experience. It baffles me that on one end there can be all this ugliness, but in the mix of it all, there's just this beauty and expansion. I feel like the light, like I feel like a light bulb has just went off in my head, like, ah, that's it. Like, this is, you've been suspecting and reading about this oneness, but now you get to experiencing it in a way that's more real and more tangible. I feel so humbled for it and so grateful. And it so that's that. And then on the other side is that, you know, like, you know, Paula was just saying, I think you all were saying this a little in various ways, but, you know, me realizing, going back to paying attention to my own prejudice. And I had the same feeling in terms of, is this how people who felt who were on the other side when Barack Obama came into office? Is this what they felt? Did they feel this level of pain that I am personally experienced? And when I thought of it, real or imagined, whether they perceived that he was evil or whatever. Whatever it is, the reality is what's inside my mind, as we're learning in the course, is that it's an illusion. Mm-hmm. So with as I experience this illusion, still feeling the pain of it, but also through the eyes of the Course and Holy Spirit, recognizing that it is an illusion, thinking, is this what they felt? And feeling almost like just brought down to my knees, like, wow, no, I don't want you to feel this level of pain. Like, none of what I have been experiencing feels like anybody deserves it, to feel that level of just inhumanity that I just feel gripped with. And I have just been realizing that this is another level. You know, one of my biggest hang-ups has been older white men. And I've been on this journey for years and years and years of releasing that and releasing it and releasing it and releasing it. And I've done so a great deal. But now here it is. I have an opportunity to do that. And here's what's so interesting. I have been coming across the most sweetest, the most kindest, compassionate, older white men. And I'm like, oh, here we go. Like, okay, Holy Spirit. I get it. I get it. And it's like just bursting down all these walls inside of me to where, you know, I was walking into the bookstore the other day and this guy, older white gentleman, he, as he was coming up, I felt the resistance. Did you, in my mind, did you vote for Trump? Are you looking at me, hating me? And then I thought, whoa, look at you. You're doing the same thing. And I said, okay, Holy Spirit. And he walked up to me, and he smiled, and he opened the door. And it just penetrated my heart, and I was just like, oh, God. And I said, okay, God, this needed to happen. this needed to happen. I like how this feels. I like how this feels. And I'm just inspired and deepened. And like I said, the oneness, all of that in the mix with the pain, it's all just bundled up inside me. And it is making for a whirlwind experience and a deepening that I've been craving. And so, yeah.
I'm blown away.
That is so cool.
Like, all of us are expressing that Donald Trump is our spiritual teacher.
Right. Oh my gosh.
Like, hardcore. And Alicia, about what you just said about this being, this is another level. Like, this is a whole other level. Think about, like, what I just said perhaps about, like, you know, maybe like the darkness, the hatred kind of being underground but always there, and now it's coming out to the surface to be healed. Like,
mm-hmm.
that is profound. That is on a whole other level. This is getting like deeper into
mm-hmm.
the ick to see that it's not true, you know, that it's absolutely not true. So, oh my gosh, I just am blown away by your chair. And she's literally seeing
her own healing.
Mm-hmm.
It's manifested itself in the physical world.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That
is amazing.
Hi, everyone. This is Meg.
Hi.
Can I share something? It'll be short.
Sure. Sure.
I didn't want Donald Trump to be president.
Hmm.
When he became president, I was not feeling great about it. I was feeling very bad about it. And then this is what came to me, and what came to me kind of just moved me into a place of equanimity. What came to me was this, that Donald Trump is Brahman. I am Brahman. Brahman is all. And to just put it more universally, Donald Trump is the absolute. I am the absolute. The absolute is all. And that just washed over me and brought me peace.
Hmm. Awesome. 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 Thank you for sharing that, Meg. That's really, really powerful. Donald Trump is our spiritual teacher, you guys. Oh, my God. Seeing this, like, wow. We're seeing this healing in each other, in ourselves. This is just incredible. I just had, Alicia, when you were speaking, I just had one other thing that just came to mind just as an observation.
Mm-hmm.
In, you know, part of which I'm sure many of us felt or noticed is just the difference in what half the country seems to see in terms of the horror of the picture and what half
mm-hmm.
the country seems to not see, which is, you know, that it seemed, at least many folks who supported Trump, you know, weren't bothered in some way. And that has just struck me. There's two sides of the same ego coin again. Perception, right? Perception is faulty, like, because there's different ways to see. It's not stable. And here we have, you know, a country split down the middle where many of us are seeing these terrible things, and then everybody else is seemingly seeing something totally different. And that's perception. That is perception.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
Just an observation. That's all.
And I just want to say one more thing on that topic. So, you know, I have a 9-year-old son. He lives in West Virginia with his father. He's like the only black kid in mostly everywhere that he goes. And I was really concerned, like, oh, my God, Are the kids going to be, I mean, I don't know. I was so fearful. I had just built it up in my mind that, and then too, he's the new generation kid, so he doesn't have a lot of, I mean, he's not afraid, you know, just because he grew up in an environment of love and mixed culture, and so he doesn't see through the eyes of separation. But me being his mom and coming up a little bit differently, even still being in the millennials, I still see something differently. And I said, well, how are you feeling? He said, I feel horrible. How could he become pregnant? And I said, well, how was school? Like, I'm ready for this dreadful thing. And he was like, you know, I was just saying how, you know, I don't like this. And I'm like, oh, my God, what did they say? Like, what did your teacher say? How are the kids treating you? He said, oh, everybody's fine. I was like, literally, I just had to pause and just, you know, that ego inside of you wants to go, no. And I realized, like, I had built it inside my mind. He's in West Virginia. He's the only black kid. You know, I don't know. You know, we hear so much horror that it just unnerves you. And he said, oh, everybody was fine. And he just started talking about something else. And my heart was pounding, and I had to just put the phone on mute and cry, but at the same time laugh like, oh, like, oh, my God, like, this did not just happen. And I got back on, and I was just like, oh, okay. So I talked with him or whatever toy or latest thing he wants to talk about. But I was just blown away, and I saw so clearly how my perception, in my mind, it was real, but it wasn't. That's not his particular experience right now. And I said, okay, Holy Spirit, I'm going to drop it. I'm not going to try to make him feel separated when he clearly feels fine. And that also gave me a great deal of peace and eye-opening into that, just that ego that just wants so bad to be right. Funny.
I just have to highlight one of the things that you said so beautifully, and all of it that was just so helpful, just seeing that perception that you had as real and finding out that it wasn't. So that is perception, and that's our process here in Donald Trump being our spiritual teacher, is that we saw a perception that was very, for many of us, horrifying, scary, and we're learning that perception isn't real. There's still part of me, as I'm saying that, I still feel the small part of me that's like, of course it's real, like, you know, and so I'm out there with that, you know, I still need to do some work here. This is a process and a journey, but that's huge, to be able to see a perception as real and then realize that it wasn't. That's what this is. That's what this is all about.
Yeah.
All about.
Remember,
it was a one paragraph. Oh, I'm sorry. What was that?
Remember, this is all still part of the dream. When you think of the Bhagavad Gita and all the wars and fighting, it's part of the play. It's part of the play of the dream. And to some people, they will feel pain and suffering because of where they are in the place. But it's not, none of it is real. It is part of the dream, and we have to be careful not to buy into it. And it's really hard not to buy into it because, you know, physically we're living in it, but somehow we have to stay strong spiritually so we can separate from it,
and
be in it.
See,
but
this beautiful, and
but this is where the Holy Spirit really comes in.
That's exactly where I was going to go.
Yeah.
that we can't, that's the piece is, just to further add to what you're saying, Meg, is that we can't intellectually dissociate ourselves from it if we're believing in the reality of it. That's where the experience of miracles, the experience of having turned to the Holy Spirit, all these experiences that we're talking about tonight, it's those experiences that show us, ah, this is part of the dream. And there, it no longer is an intellectual feat for us to be disconnected from it, but it happens from an experience through that miracle, through Holy Spirit. So, wow. Paula, did you want to add anything? I cut you off.
No, I this has been fantastic. That's all I
can say. This has been. This is part two to our call on Thursday. And this is funny. This was a one paragraph night. We only read one paragraph.
I think we did some leaps and bounds here tonight.
We sure did. We sure did. Did I hear? Who did I hear? Was that Homera?
Corinne, I just wanted to ask Deidre which the YouTube video that she was talking about. I tried to Google it right now, and I couldn't come up with November elections with Lisa Natoli. What should I search under for YouTube to see
Deidre,
that video?
Deidre, could you share that in the could you share that in the Miracle Share group?
Yes, I can. I know that Lisa posted it on her personal Facebook, so I can go and grab the link and stick it on the Miracle Share group.
Are you in that group, Homera?
I'm not, but I will join. Is that how I get your emails, Corinne? I don't know if I'm in that group.
It's a Facebook group, so...
No, I'm not. I don't have Facebook, believe it or not.
Okay.
So then, Deidre, if you want to send it to me and I'll forward it to Homera, or if you want to send it directly to her, whatever.
I'll send it to you, Corinne, and then you can send it to Homera, and if Homera wants to get in touch with me, she can have my email as well.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
Can you forward it also to me, please, Meg?
Sure.
Yeah.
You got it. Definitely. We'll share it in the Miracle Share Facebook group, too, for anybody else who wants to find it. So, great. Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Good night.
Love you all.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Love you, too. Good night, family.
Good night.
Good night.